Season 2, episode number 32. The struggle is real being a Caribbean mompreneur. You have 4 days. Do you hear me? 4 days to save on this one. Start College deals for every room, plus save on electronics, styles, household essentials, and so much more at Target. Also, if you are looking to clean up that room, get all the household cleaning essentials by stocking up on huge, huge deals on beauty and personal care using the Keep It 100 Girl Target shopping link. You can access the link from your mobile right there in the show notes, or just head on over to the keepit100girl.com page /podcast, and you're going to look for episode number 32. So we always have to caption when we talk to people like work-life balance and achieving that. And I actually read a really interesting article from the owner of Amazon, Mark Bezos, and he refuses to call it work-life balance and refers to it as work-life harmony. So what this exactly translates to is incorporating a work life and having that holistic lifestyle wedged all in between, inside and outside the office. Which brings me to my next guest, Lorianne Ainsworth. This whole work-life harmony is not a new phenomenon, but it's always interesting to shed light on the struggle that many of us still go through with achieving that and the embarrassment that comes from the struggle.
I have so many hats that I wear. The struggle is real. I don't like to call it a struggle necessarily anymore. But the other side is I'm a mom to two young kids, 2 and 4.
Okay, Lorianne, are you ready to keep it 100?
Yes, Nina, I'm ready to keep it 100.
Okay, so today we're talking about the struggle is real. Oh, yeah, the struggle is real. And you're going to be talking about just your balance, how you work as a mom, a working mom,
entrepreneur, wife,
and entrepreneur, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's it. Those three elements together, which is very common in this world. So I'm sure a lot of women want to know how you do it, how you balance it all. And, you know, you have Reiki, you have a holistic side of you as well. And so it'd be interesting to know how you incorporate that and how you use it in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm. My career has been in marketing and communications pretty much all my life. And I got involved in entrepreneurship support as an enabler. So right now I'm a director at the Branson Center of Entrepreneurship Caribbean. And I support the center in fundraising and marketing. So that's my role as a director of developmental communications there. It's a very dynamic brand, as you can appreciate with our founder, Richard Branson. It is a global brand. There's a lot of expectations that we have to fulfill. And so it at times can be a very intense job. It's a great place to work. I absolutely love it there. There's a lot of balance that we try to create in our culture at the Branson Center. But there are just very, very high expectations that we have. And we have entrepreneurs who are doing great things, and we try to promote them throughout our channels and everything that we do. And so there's a lot of work that we're constantly doing and getting out and reaching everyone to let them know all the good things that we're doing, as well as the fundraising aspect of it, because we are a nonprofit and that's part of my role. So part of my role is working with a lot of the partners that we have, corporates, foundations, to ensure that what we do continues to happen, because we are constantly looking for persons who want to support our mission, which is to create dynamic Caribbean economies through entrepreneurship.
Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. My name is Nina Babel. So my guest today, Lorianne Ainsworth, is going to be talking about how she is able to balance her life as a mom, as a working mom, a wife, an entrepreneur. how she incorporates her holistic mantras into her own lifestyle. So I've asked her to keep it 100 with everything. In this next clip, I asked Lorianne to describe the many, many roles that I've already talked about earlier in her life when it comes to starting her 9-to-5. And look, I can say this first and foremost, being an entrepreneur is more than a job or even a career. It's a mindset and a lifestyle. It certainly yields more, but it also demands a heck of a lot more organization and just high level management skills. So when you add mom, when you add wife, when you add 9-to-5, and you add your entrepreneurial business to that lineup, you're going to feel overwhelmed. And managing all these roles simultaneously, every woman out there should know that she is not alone.
So we support entrepreneurs to grow their businesses so that they can help to grow the economy in Jamaica and the Caribbean, the wider region. So we always are looking for persons who are interested in that very mission, who want to support us, whether that's via funding or mentorship or whatever else that someone feels that they can support us with to move our mission forward. So that's my day job. That's what I do 9-to-5 as the Director of Development and Communications. That's one thing. I have so many hats that I wear. The struggle is real. I don't like to call it a struggle necessarily anymore.
Now we're talking about part two of Lorianne's daily life as a mother, but I'll let her explain.
But the other side is I'm a mom to two kids, two young kids, 2 and 4, who are high energy, my son especially, and they're going to 2 different schools, you know, you have the preschool and the prep school, and so you have to deal with everyone doing their own thing, even at the age of 2 and 4, you know, one's doing football, others doing dancing and violin, so you're just constantly in a state of movement, right? So I have those two that I have as well, my loves. And I'm also an entrepreneur, 2 different ways. 5 years ago, I started a marketing business with my friend and my sister. My sister and I run it now. And we have clients that we support that we do marketing for, particularly with like governance documents, annual reports, such like that. So I've had that going for 5 years.
Mom-owned businesses here in the U.S. are certainly on the rise and have a huge impact on the U.S. economy. According to the 2015 May issue of Working Mother magazine, of the women-owned businesses out there, it's estimated that 1 out of 3 are owned by moms. That is like a phenomenal stat. All right, so this is where it gets even more amazing, as this number translates to more than 3 million businesses owned by mompreneurs.
As well, I'm now a life coach and a Reiki master. So I support clients. This was a part of my... Okay, baby. No, you have to go in your room. The struggle, right? Go in your room, baby. Mommy.
That's perfect.
I do Reiki. Reiki is a Japanese healing modality that balances the mind, body, and spirit. And this was one of the things I actually got into to find balance for myself in my crazy life. I didn't go into it intending to help other persons. I did it because literally, when things started to fall apart in my life, I needed an outlet. And I can remember being at home. I used to work 9-to-5, then I'd come home, jump on the computer, start working again on the business. And my children wanted my attention. And I can remember just getting really angry with them and saying, like, I have to do this work because I want to spend time with you in the future. And I'm looking at myself and thinking, I'm telling my kids I can't spend time with you now because I'm working hard to ensure that I can spend time with you later. And it dawned on me how ridiculous that was. You know, I was just like, Laura, you're crazy. You're missing these years with them because you're trying to create this empire for yourself so that you can spend time with them later. And I was just like, okay, no, there's something's got to give, so I have to figure this out. And somehow Reiki came to me. So I started doing Reiki, and I literally stopped doing everything in my life. I stopped working on my passion projects. I cut down on my client list of things that I was working with so that I could concentrate on Reiki. And that led me to become a Reiki master. And now I use Reiki in my life daily. I start my day with Reiki. I start my day with meditation, which is a part of Reiki. And now for me, my balance has become self-care. I'm a complete self-care advocate, and it's not something that I was used to, because I'm a very high-strung, I'm very driven, I want to see things happening and progressing in my life, but I was just going so fast and I needed to slow down. So now, once I became a Reiki master and I realized that I could help people, I started helping my family, and I went on to become a life coach to support myself, to be able to support others even more in a greater way. So that's another thing that I do now. So now I'm building out my life coaching and Reiki business. So I have all of these things that are happening.
All right, for those of you not familiar with Reiki, this is a Japanese technique, and my layman understanding of it is it basically is a life force energy type of stress reduction and relaxation, and it promotes healing internally. So whatever blockages you have in your body, that practitioner is able to detect where the blockage is happening. And the whole goal of that session is to determine the root cause of it and to release it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's absolutely true. Because what Reiki does is, getting more into it, Reiki works with life force energy. Some people know it as prana or chi or ki. Basically, the energy that we have in our body that keeps us alive. And it works with various energy centers in our bodies, which people know as chakras, right? And in each chakra governs a different part of our body. And when it's out of balance, there are signs emotionally or physically that can be manifested. So like, for example, if your root chakra, which is at the base of our spine, when that's out of balance, you can experience things like frustration and anger. You could have leg or lower back problems. That's a physical. What I said before was the emotional. And so when you see things like this and you can recognize them, you may have blocks there. And Reiki energy helps to go in and starts to remove and clear those blocks. And sometimes those blocks are things that you're dealing with, maybe emotionally, mentally, that Reiki supports you to deal with. So some people might think, you go to a Reiki session and my back's hurting me, and when I'm finished, my back's not going to hurt me anymore. Maybe not, but maybe what the Reiki energy will do is support you to go and deal with an issue, maybe an issue that you, a frustration that you are having, maybe with your husband, and you go and you have that discussion and it starts to remove that frustration, remove that anger, and that's going to support the back not hurting anymore. So Reiki does exactly what you're saying. It helps you to really unblock the things that you didn't know were there, things that you maybe were aware of, but it supports you to remove it.
A little more familiar with Lori's many hats that she wears, we need to go back in time. So I really want to learn about Lori, the young girl, because we all are products of our environment. And I'm a firm believer that this helps you put the puzzle pieces together. You might have not have understood your destiny at 15 years old, but now that you've progressed into adulthood, into womanhood, you can look back and say what made sense or what didn't make sense, even with a more clear state of mind.
I had an interesting childhood, and I come from, which a lot of Caribbean families do, single parent household. My father left when I was 8 years old. And there were five of us. My brother was killed at, he was 21. And I would have just been coming out of prep school, going into high school. So there was a lot of baggage that I had dealing with at that time, even when I was 15 and so. But at that time, I felt like growing up, I needed to get myself out of the situation that I had been in, meaning my mother tried very hard. She was a single parent. I did not come from money. And there were things that we wanted that we couldn't get when we were growing up. And in Jamaica, prep school is expensive. There were four of us going to it, and there's this one mom who's trying to do all of this. And it's hard, you know. But I still had a fantastic childhood because we're all there for each other. But I knew in my mind that I wanted to build something so that if I have children, they won't have to go through that as well. And I was also very cognizant of wanting to find a partner who I could have a stable family with, because of the fact that my father left and I never knew him after I was 8 years old. And it really affected me. And but I've become a totally different person from who I was then. At that time, I believed that you should go to school, get your education, get a good job, and you stay in that job forever and ever. Amen. And I never thought that I would have been, this entrepreneurial-minded person that I am today. Because at that time, it was, which most people in Jamaica tell you, you're going to become a lawyer, you're going to become a doctor, you become a teacher, you do those things. We weren't, and I don't know if that's your experience right. too, growing up in the Caribbean. But that is what I was exposed to. I wasn't exposed to you can go and create your own business and you can Reiki or any of these healing arts was not even something. That was like Obia or something, right? Some of the things that I say now, I'm just like, you know, like 15 years ago, even people would think that I'm doing madness or I'm doing some kind of witchcraft or whatever. But now, thanks to technology and just being able to have all this information at our fingertips and understanding history and like really educating yourself, you recognize how valuable it is and how we've just like lost ourselves along the way, especially women, I think. We've just lost touch with these things that kind of support us throughout all of these struggles. But anyways, I digress. So at 15...
You never...
That time I was very focused on just following the straight and narrow, and I'm so glad that I came off of that path and that I recognized that, one, all of those hurts that I had in my life before, my brother dying, my father leaving, and I had real abandonment issues, I recognized later on in life that through Reiki and through self-care, that those things weren't my fault and it didn't define me. It doesn't mean that I'm not loved. It doesn't mean that this is who I am. And so those things that formed my thinking early out in life have changed. Seeing my mother struggle as a single parent also did something to me mentally, because when I became a mom, I started to tell myself the same story of what motherhood was like. And when you're a mom, you have to sacrifice. And when you're a mom, you struggle. But that's just how it is. And so I recognize that story that I've been telling myself. And I've been changing that story. I'm not saying that I'm totally there where I'm saying, oh, life is perfect and I've changed. I'm changing that. And I'm seeing the benefits of changing that story and understanding what I'm capable of. And those things don't define me anymore.
All right, so real talk, girl talk. I had to ask Lorianne, look, Caribbean mothers are so scare tactic driven, and I wanted to know if this was the case with her own mother growing up. And what kind of precedent did that set for Lori as a girl to who she is now as a mother of two children, and how does she carry forward what she learned from her mother into her everyday life?
She actually was really open. Like, I had a really good conversations with my mom. So I had two older sisters, and I don't think they benefited from those conversations with her as much as I did. So I can remember being in the car with her, and she would talk to me about sex. And she wouldn't say, don't do it, because you'll get pregnant and you'll have babies. And no, she said, Laurie, sex is great. She's like, it is. And especially if you're having a rough day and you're frustrated or whatever, she says, it's amazing. But it's not for you at this age. And she would, and I really appreciated that. I really appreciated how just open she was with me about the fact that it's something you can enjoy. It's something for you to enjoy. So it didn't put sex in my head as something that was bad. But she prefaced it by saying, but it's when you're able to handle it. It's when you're mature enough to be able to have this kind of relationship with a man or with whomever. But she, because my mom's very open, right? But she was, she would tell me that once you enter into that kind of relationship with a man, it almost imprints on you and you have this connection with this person. Make sure it's someone that you want that connection with, you know? So she was very open with me that way. And I think more so with me than my other two sisters, who she was dealing with a lot of other drama and stuff with. But I had boyfriends at the time, and she would drop me at their house. And she just developed this trust factor with me that just, I had this responsibility to make sure that I did not break this trust with her. And I thought it was so great. This is one thing in my womanhood, coming into womanhood, that I really appreciated with my mom. And I want to do the same thing for my daughter. I didn't get, like, now I'm into the whole menstrual cycles and cycling with the moon. I didn't get that.
Not so recently. No one talked about that, or
no.
Was never exposed.
Exactly. And now when I understand it, and I'm like, okay, so when it's new moon, and I'm sorry for your listeners who don't know about these things, maybe they can do some more research, but like, when it's new moon and I'm feeling miserable and I'm a little bit antsy, I don't have to feel bad about wanting to be by myself. And what I should be doing at this time, I just feel so much better scheduling my day around when, okay, it's full moon, or I'm going to be ovulating, I'm going to be, you know, more of a people person. And so going to this event is probably a good idea, or having this event then. Like, those little things now that I didn't know then, and when we're working against or resisting, so like pushing myself when I'm having my period, and not recognizing that I don't need to, and that I don't have to be superwoman, because I don't need to be. Those things I was not taught.
Right. Can I tell you, and then this week, and I do this often, I'm like, no wonder I have so much energy. I look up and this moon is like bright and round, and I'm saying, duh, that's why, like, I'm so, and you know, when the moon, like, I'll just look up the moon, and that will dictate, like, if it's the end of the day and I look up at the moon, I'll be like, no wonder. That makes total sense of my, you know, energy level, but never, ever made that connection or to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think when growing up, you were just given like a pack of pads and you were told, go into the back, you know, it's kind of like a hide, hush, hush, oh my gosh, this is happening to you now. But yeah, I wish more women, I wish we would teach our daughters or young ladies coming up about this whole cycling with the moon. It makes life a lot easier, I think.
So now we're transitioning from the off-duty entrepreneur right into the wife role. And so I have to ask the question, because I know hubby has some say in this. So I had to ask Lorianne, how does she find the time or even make the time with all these moving parts?
It's not easy, and I won't tell you that it's perfect. And that is the truth, you know? And for a long time, it was really bad. Because when I was trying to do all of these things, I was neglecting him. And I think for most women, when you're in a relationship, your partner is the one who gets the like the brunt of it, because I know I have to look after my children. I have to go to work because I have to get money so we can do things with it, right? And so that relationship inevitably gets really the bad end of the stick. But now, it took us a long time to get to a place where he understood what I was doing and I understood what he needed. And it's not perfect still. But what we tried to do, the first thing I had to do was get our children out of our bed. Get the children out of the bed, because that was a big problem too, right? And it was easy for me to just put them in the bed, hug them up, because that's what they want, and fall asleep, and there's the four of us in the bed. So the first thing was to consciously and intentionally decide, okay, how do we want to live our lives? We need to have our time when at the end of the day, we can just lie down in bed, chat, do whatever. So we both had to make the decision that it was going to be 2 weeks of hard work to get the kids back into their bed, the screaming, the crying, what have you. And so that worked. So now we have our time together at night where we're able to have good conversations and other things. Right? But it's not perfect still. But it, as I said, it took a lot of us both understanding each other. And him understanding what I'm doing and what my goals are and supporting me in it. And it took a lot of me recognizing that my time is not my own. And I had to set time for everybody in my life. So now I set time for he and I. So David and I, when we come home, we try to have meals together. And it sounds cliche, but these are the little things that make a difference. So we do that. It's hard to get someone to look after the kids, but we try to have a date night every so often. It doesn't happen every week. That certainly doesn't happen. But yeah. It's getting better, and I won't say it's perfect. But there's an understanding there that allows us to connect every day, and we continue to work on it.
All right, so now we should be on to part four, which is the self-care entrepreneur side. And I hate to say it, even though I gave you guys that explanation about Reiki, that was my own understanding, just because I have a friend who does it. I hate to say it, I've always been skeptic. I kind of still am, and that's why I have not done it. But it's not about me. It's about Lorianne. And I want her to explain to listeners and help them, as well as myself, understand the dynamic of self-care, in her case, Reiki, and transferring that energy to an entrepreneurial life.
Maybe like, you know, your generation and younger would totally get it as a self-care move, but I would see like the side eye, like what?
Yes. It is happening. I think I'm surprised. And I think that's my own preconceived notion of what we think in the Caribbean. But people are surprisingly open to it now. Surprisingly, I think. A lot of people, even you and I just having that discussion about the moon, like you're talking to regular people and people say, oh yeah, you know, I've been reading about that. And so people are becoming more, I like to say, awakened to what's happening. You know, a lot of people are waking up to it. And I give Reiki to a lot of people who are close to me. So friends and family, that's where I've started. So people who know me, trust me, and understand what I'm doing and take the time to sit down and kind of understand it. But I also give Reiki to persons distant. So once you go through Reiki, you have three different levels. The first level is for self-care. The second level, you can give persons Reiki via distance. And I'm at the third level. And so I'm able to give persons Reiki no matter where they are in the world. So some people I give, like my sister lives in Canada. I give her Reiki in Canada. And other persons I give Reiki to around the world. So it can be via distance. It can be in person. And typically when it's in person, you're giving very light touches, either you can touch the skin or the body, or you just hover right above it. So it's non-invasive. You don't take your clothes off. It's not a massage. You keep everything on. But yeah, I give my kids Reiki every day. I give myself Reiki every day. I use a crystal grid, and I give Reiki to situations and people. So I have a grid that's the continuous.
Explain the crystal stuff. I don't understand that.
So basically, everything has a vibration, right? We are all vibration. The smallest molecule is vibrating. And when we raise our, when we talk about raising your energy, you know, it's really everything in this world vibrates at a particular frequency. We vibrate things that vibrate at a higher frequency, like abundance and wealth and health. And other things vibrate at a lower frequency, like frustration and anger and poverty. And a lot of times when our chakras are out of balance, when we are vibrating at a lower frequency, that's our experience. Crystals vibrate at a higher frequency and they support us to raise our vibration. So when persons say, you know, keep a crystal nearby, raise your vibration, essentially this crystal that's holding this higher vibration, it's supporting you, and it's almost, you're almost absorbing that frequency, and so therefore you're raising your frequency. Nothing, we know, going back to physics, you know, energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's just transferred. Abundance exists. Wealth exists. This exists. Are you raising your vibration enough to get to it? You know? So in Reiki, you can use a crystal grid. I use it with clear quartz, and I create a grid that I put either written words or pictures of persons that I want to send this vibration to, using the distance symbol, which is something that you get once you become attuned. I'm able to send Reiki through this grid that's constantly keeping this vibration that I'm sending. And I don't have to do it every single day, because it's constantly sending this vibration, this good vibe, this life force energy to whomever I have on this Reiki, or whatever situation I have on that grid.
Discover a new travel size fragrance every month. Scentbird is a simple and fun way to try a 30-day supply of hundreds of top designer fragrances. And look, it gets delivered to your door every month for $14.95 a month. And you can cancel anytime. And a bonus is free shipping. So this is how it works. You pick a scent, and you can pick from 450 designer and niche fragrances, and you'll get a generous supply of travel-friendly sprays, a refillable case with your first order, and every month you get it delivered straight to your door. This is perfect for travel. Visit www.keepit100girl.com/podcast, which is the podcast page, where you're going to look for episode number 32 to click on this link. So we're all destined to execute our natural talents, unleash our full potential, and allow them to come forth. There are some people who never reach their full potential. So when I think back to 20 years ago, you know, you're studying college, you're studying in high school, you're doing exams, and you're charting your career, you never know where you're going to end up. And I say this to say, there are God-given talents embedded in our DNA that we had no idea that was even there, or maybe it was just a mattering of discovering them. So whether you discover it or you don't during your lifetime, I can say that in the case of our parents, who might not have explored a talent that they had at the time, or maybe they didn't have the funds to explore it, or maybe it was just life circumstances of having children and a family to take care of. But I honestly and truly feel that innately that we follow a path that our parents might not have started, stopped, or just not followed for one reason or another. And I think when you reflect on what you're doing today, oftentimes it's an extension of your parents, or it might just be something you're building off of your parents. So let me explain this even better. So I have this photography side business, had no idea in all my life, other than like my mother was the Instagram before Instagram. She always had a camera growing up. She always took pictures of us doing anything from posing to just, you know, watching TV. So I'm grateful for that. But come to find out, a few months back, she indicated to me that she always wanted to be a photographer. And I was just like, wow, that's so deep. How, you know, organically that I just always had that same desire. I always had a camera in hand because I saw her with a camera in hand. And I just eventually picked it up as a entrepreneurial business. So now I asked Lori to dig deeper, you know, think back, reflect on what brought her here with her holistic business and being an entrepreneur, and kind of like do an audit on her life to see how those puzzle pieces are fitting in.
No, absolutely resonate with your story, because I think that's very common for a lot of people, and particularly, as you said, you know, Caribbean people, where we we grew up in very good but almost strictish households, where, you know, you went to school, you did this, and they want to keep you on the straight and narrow. And there's nothing wrong with that, I think. But I do believe that our parents, yes, I don't think that our parents were able to get to a place where we are now, where they're able to explore that creative talent or that passion that they had burning inside. And I do believe that they pass it on to us. You know, I do believe that. But I think for me too, it was always there. I, like you, was very creative growing up. And I think looking back at my life so far, I see where there were instances that gave you little clues, but I didn't pick it up then. And I believe that the universe kind of sets you up to take like a step. And that step is going to give you that kind of aha moment where you go, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think it's multiple times until you kind of get it. Some people say, you know, when it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I think, looking back at my life, I say, okay, I saw little cues of things that were coming to me. I just kind of didn't pay attention. And I think that as we go along in life, the more lessons that we learn, the things that happen to us in our lives are all things to teach us to kind of look at things differently. So when it happened for me, after doing multiple projects, having multiple failures or perceived failures, and just kept going, and then just finally hearing something that said to me, slow down and stop, which was completely out of my nature, I remember writing a list of all of the things that I liked to do. And a lot of things that were coming up or that I was interested in, like I just gave myself freedom to just like do a brain dump and just say, you know what, nothing has to make sense. And I was just writing things that I was interested in. A lot of things that were coming up were like, I was interested in finding out about goddesses and essential oil and chakras and these things that I didn't know about. But I was just like writing things that I would, if I saw a book on it or if I saw an article scrolling through in social media, that I would kind of stop at. I just kind of wrote these things down, and then that was like my first, it was the first action that kind of put me in a place where, okay, now that these things are on paper and I'm seeing in front of me what I'm interested in, what do I do with this? And from there, I just started to do more research, and I started to read lots of books, and I started to take lots of courses and just teach myself instead of having that niggling in the back of my mind. And so I absolutely think that it's something innate. I think it's in our DNA, absolutely. And I think it comes out in little pieces, but we ignore those things because society has taught us that it's frivolous. Photography is just a side hustle. It's a hobby. It's not something for you to pursue. So you kind of dismiss it because all of life's struggles come up to pay the bills. The kids need me, this and that. So I have to actually work on my accounting business or work on whatever it is that's paying the bills. So I'm ignoring the photography because photography could never, ever sustain my family, right? So we don't put any energy there. So I think that we do get the clues and we just have to stop, pay attention to them and give ourselves grace to know that when we can't pursue things as quickly as we want, that we're not hard on ourselves. And if you're like me, I'm one of those persons who I want to learn everything now. I want to know it now. And if it's taking me too long, I get a little frustrated. And that was a part of my path too, to kind of just say, you know what? It's okay. It's going to take me a year to learn this. Like, it's going to take me a year to learn Reiki, but it's okay. That was my path.
So yes, being an entrepreneur might look glam on the outside, but it's a lot of grit and grind on the inside. And with that, there are definitely some relatable lessons and failures that we all can share with each other. Now, from a woman's perspective, from a mother's perspective, from a wife's perspective, I asked Lorianne to let us know what these struggles are or continue to be in her life, and how does she rise above them in her own way?
So in the mother perspective, yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, I have so many of them, and I'm sure a lot of mothers would resonate with, like, getting my kids up in the morning and getting them to school. I remember one day I was in the car and I'm about to back out with them, recognize that they did not brush their teeth, and I gave them 2 mints. I was like, pop the mint in your mouth because we're late and we're going anyway. And I was just like, you know what? I can't beat myself up about these things. Like, seriously, my kids did not brush their teeth that morning.
Love it.
I was just like, yeah, all right, go pop a mint, you know?
I love it.
You're just
That's so,
many-
so real.
That, but it's true. And I mean, I'm sure you'd have a lot of mothers raise their hand and say they've done something like that. Because I mean, seriously, to go and stress myself out about a lot of things, not that I don't want my kids to brush their teeth. My kids brush their teeth all the time. But when things like that happen, you know what? I'm not going to stress myself about it. I mean, there are things like when my kids go to school or I forgot that, like one day or two, I forgot that they were supposed to do a field trip or something. All right, my son had a field trip, in on a compound field trip. We had to pay money for them to have little goats and whatever come so that they could pet them. So the school calls me and says, Mom, you didn't send the permission slip, you didn't pay the money, whatever. Can your son still do it? I was just like, oh my God, I forgot. Yes. I said, go ahead, great. And I was talking to my sister on the phone. I was just like, Dan, I'm such a bad mom. Like, I forgot all of these things. And then in the same breath, I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, he rubbed the goat's head. He's fine. You know, he got what he needed. I don't have to feel bad about this anymore. You know, it's over. It's not that big a deal. And so those are little things that in my day, I just go, I'm going to give myself permission to just not be perfect. And when those things happen, normally I would beat myself up throughout the whole day and say, I'm not organized and I'm doing all these things. It's okay. Life goes on, you know?
Right. It does. You have a new day.
Exactly.
How about as a wife?
Oh, Lord. Embarrassing moment. I don't know. Embarrassing.
What are you willing to share?
The pain of your past prepares you for your future. The struggles that you've encountered in your life has led you down a path to finding what you enjoy. So I've asked Lorianne, even though she's working at the Branson Center, to share with us her path.
I think I've been very fortunate throughout my career and I've manifested a lot of things, and I didn't know I was doing that. Throughout my life, I've manifested things. I've said, you know, I want that. And it happens. It doesn't happen immediately, but it happens. So I got a lot of jobs that way, where I was able to say, you know what, I really want to work at that place. And then like 2 years later, I'm working at that place. So that happened to me. But when I became a mom for the first time, I had my daughter, I decided that I was going to go and be an entrepreneur. That's when I started my agency. And I left my corporate job, which was a very good corporate job. I was an executive. And I was also side hustle, because that's just my nature, just do multiple things. I was also working on television, doing cash, which is like doing the lottery, right? So I would do the lottery by night. So I would work my 9 to 5, go on TV, do the lottery, call the lottery numbers, because it was a nice, quick hustle, right? It was hustle. I would be doing it for years, but it was bringing in some good income for me. So I kept that after I left my corporate job. And I remember I was pregnant with my second child. And I had started this group called the Female Entrepreneurs Lounge, where I was bringing together these women in the Caribbean to talk about entrepreneurship. And somebody had said to me, a friend of mine, that someone was saying, how embarrassing, look at her. She's pregnant and she's on TV doing the lottery. Is she desperate? And I was like, wow. And I went into my group and I wrote about it, because I wasn't embarrassed, because when I decided to quit my corporate job to pursue my career and pursue my dreams, and I still kept something that was going to bring income to my family, and because I was pregnant, mean it stopped me. But here was this other woman who was criticizing me for doing something that was bringing finances to my family, or doing whatever for me. I was just like, you know, I can't believe we do this as women. I can't believe that we look at each other, we criticize each other this way. So that was in my career. So that happened, and people from the outside would look and say, here, you've left that good job, you're doing this, you're pregnant. And truth be told, life started to get really rough for me, because I was dealing with a toddler, I was pregnant, I was doing my online business. I'd done a summit where I pulled together a lot of great people on the internet to talk about sales funnels to help entrepreneurs. I was really interested in helping entrepreneurs at this time. And things just got so rough. It got so bad with my relationship with my husband, because finances started to become a problem. All of these things started to come down on me, and I started to believe them. And that person saying that about me at the time, it didn't bother me, but I think subconsciously these things start to weigh on you. And so life started to get really rough. And again, I think I manifested this. It got so bad, I was like, okay, I have to go and find another job. So after I left the corporate world, I said I had to go back, because now I was struggling. And I got a job came up to help entrepreneurs in this company to do marketing. But it was a much lower level job than I had left corporate. And I said, well, I didn't care, because I needed to get money back in my pocket. So I entered the entrepreneurial space at this lower level job. And from there, because they recognized, obviously, my abilities and capabilities were much greater, I just moved up the ranks, and I was able to get a position that was basically working as a pseudo CEO in the business. And from there, I left that company. And I saw Lissandra Rickards, who's the CEO of the Branson Center. I saw her at a farmer's market. And we had known each other from within the ecosystem, the entrepreneur ecosystem. And she just said, Laurie, I have an opening. You need to come and work with me. And that was it. And that's how I started working at the Branson Center. So for me, going from basically starting at the ground again, starting at the at an entry level almost, and just moving my way up. And now I'm a director at the Branson Center. And the Branson Center is a great place. But I mean, I think there are lessons for me to learn along the way to help me, to support me in continuing on my entrepreneurial journey, things that I need to learn in corporate, things that I need to learn to do a different way, come back.
So it's really important to speak things into existence to the universe. I do it all the time. And I think I just did it intrinsically, organically. I could think back to school, you know, playing on sports teams as an athlete, you know, you're forced to kind of visualize winning and how to win. If it means, you know, finding the hole when you're playing tennis or basketball to go down that hole as you see it, as you envision it. You know, and I would just do things as if I was just setting my own intentions. And it wasn't until I was older that I recognized this pattern, you know, and I would say to myself, like, or people would even recognize, hey, like, how come you're always getting every job you interview for? And I would tell them it's because I wanted it. I set my intentions, I prepared for it, and I knew that I was going to get it before I arrived at the interview. And as I was talking to Lorianne, I noticed we shared this affinity, this goal setting, mindfulness around setting intentions and speaking things into existence. So I asked her to just share some of those intentions, some of that mindset.
Even though I didn't share it with people, like I was in tune with what was happening. So I would do it on purpose just to see, okay, let me see if this is going to work. Yes. And then when it did, I'm like, oh, like this is something I need to be doing. This is what I need to talk to the universe, or at least listen to, because, you know, there's times, like you mentioned, you don't listen. And then you're like, what if I only listened to my gut, even to like understanding that gut feeling when something is just not right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, you know, when you mentioned the job thing, I think it's just innate that we just love to work two or three jobs.
I don't know why.
It's just one of those things. Even up here,
it's like, fallback. You know, we always think of fallback.
Yeah, they'll say, you Caribbean people love to work 2-3 jobs. You never know. But then, you know, it's funny, though, because when you look at the bigger picture, it's like we always had that entrepreneurial spirit without calling that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just we never viewed it that way. And a lot of times it's like, you know, you are managing your own business by having 2-3 jobs.
Yes. And knowing that it is a business that you are, even though we call it a side hustle, it's your business. Treat it that way, which I think is another problem that I think a lot of women don't do. We're like, okay, no, I'm just doing this, I'm going to get some money out of it. But really looking at it, like, I have a business. How do I treat my business as a business?
So as we get nearer to the end of the episode, I feel like it's really important for Lorianne to share how the struggle has been real in her life, how she's risen out of her struggles, or how she manages her struggles on a daily basis as a mother, wife, and entrepreneur in the Caribbean.
I think it extends globally because we're becoming so much like everywhere else in the world. But one thing that I truly believe is that we can heal ourselves. And I mean that for everyone, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a mom, your wife, your husband, you're whoever, you can heal yourself. And I mean that we look for things outside of ourselves to deal with the struggles and to deal with everything else, whether that's substances. I mean, everyone enjoys, I enjoy a glass of wine every so often, but I'm saying for people who abuse those things, or you're looking for drugs, or you're looking for people to validate you, none of that will ever matter. Everything is within you. You can heal yourself. And once you start to take care of yourself and to really love who you are and what you do, then everything, the world changes for you. So I think persons need to take the time for themselves, whether it's 10 minutes a day, it doesn't have to be too long. If you take 10 minutes for yourself every single day to do something, center yourself, get in touch with yourself, life is going to change.
And lastly, it's only fitting, while we're on the topic of speaking of healing and healing yourself from struggles. If you caught it, Lorianne made reference to growing up without a father and not having him as a central figure in her life. So I thought it was important for her to share how she made peace with him, with herself, and how did that affect her personally as that little girl we learned about earlier, who evolved into a woman, who evolved into a wife, who didn't have a daddy figure.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a lot of that growing up, because when my father left and I was 8, I always had in the back of my mind that he was going to come back. And as you got older and he didn't come back and you saw people with their fathers, or people would say things to you, and some people are cruel, like, you know, how could a father leave his daughters? And it really starts to play on you and you start to think, something's wrong with me. How could he have left me? Am I not lovable? And I think that there is an unconditional love that you get from your parents that is different love from a mom and a different love from a father. And I think for me, not having that unconditional love from a man, from that male figure, was something that was missing in my life. And I realized it affected my relationships with my boyfriends, my whomever. And even with my husband now, I recognized earlier in our relationship that I was looking for a kind of love that was unconditional, where, you know, you are their universe, where no matter what you do, they're going to love you. And when you don't get that, you start to think, well, you're not the right person for me, or something's wrong with them. Maybe you think something's wrong with you. But I recognized in doing my own inner work that that love was not going to come from anyone else, and that I just had to give it to myself, and I had to be okay with the kind of love that I was going to get from other men in my life. And so, and also recognizing that what my father did has nothing to do with me. And it took me a long time to get to that place where I was okay with the fact that I'm not angry anymore. I'm not feeling sorry for him. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. It is what it is, but that my love for myself, it is strong, and that I don't need my partner, my husband, to give to me what I didn't get from my father. That to me was just like that abandonment issue, feeling like every man in my life is going to abandon me or is not going to love me. And abandon is a broader term, meaning they're not just physically leaving me, but like in anything, I feel like you don't have my back, or you're not 100% there with me. You feel almost like signs start to go up for me. Any inclination that you weren't 100% there, it would just send me, drive me crazy. So that is how it affected me in my life. But I have, as I said, it took a long time for me to get to this place where I'm okay with it. It's not my doing.
And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. Nina celebrates embarrassment and the emotional choices that we make every single day. Every week, men and women share their 50 shades of cray cray. And I reveal our tell-all experiences, the aha moments, advice, and lastly, the mother friggin' girlfriend knowledge that comes out of it. I'm here to empower you guys every week and give you that dose of self-confidence to help you realize your self-worth. New episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show, they drop every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But you can catch us on iTunes, Alexa, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. But before you go, give me some love, 100 Nation. If you like this episode or any other ones I've done, don't forget to leave a rating and review. In fact, I would say make it 5 stars. I rely on it a lot because it helps me stand up from the crowd. It helps women and even men understand each other better. And I hope this episode helped you. Tune into the next episode of Flyer Girl Talk when I give you the deets on Cartagena, Colombia, especially if you are a solo female traveler. Nina keeps it 100. She keeps it real. She keeps it true. Smooches!